I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune. I am Stargate Pioneer. My friends do not call me Ed, they call me SP. And your reporters for this special pre-finale Arrow hiatus episode, also the pre-finale Supergirl episode of the Starling Tribune, are Chris.
Hey, my name's Ed.
And Neil.
Why is it so bright in Central or in National City?
Or is it Central City? Is it National City? Is it Opus City?
It's bright in both. It's too bright. We're Star City people. It's gloomy. It's dark. It's rainy.
Put on your sunglasses, son. This show is recorded on Thursday, April 14th, 2016, live on the Bloop streaming service. And it'll be fun listening to Doctor Strange said that. And yes, I did just cross the streams there, but you should go watch the Doctor Strange trailer. We are just a few guys that discussed the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I am not a comic expert, but I have read an awful lot of comics this past year. I'm actually a sci-fi guy, and on the treadmill tonight, I was watching The Expanse again. Yes! But I'm catching up with the comic lore, thanks to reading and thanks to great folks like Chris.
I like comics, but I'm way behind on comics.
Ooh, did you see the new C-3PO comic that came out?
I knew it was out, and then I read about how it worked out that he got the red arm, and I was like, okay, I'm really intrigued now. I thought this was going to be a cash grab for, oh my god, C-3PO's got a red arm, find out here. But then once I read about it, I was like, this is actually well done. I need to go and buy the book now.
Exactly. I was at the comic book store, and I saw it there, and I'm like, oh, what is going on here? And I paged through it, and I was like, I'm going to pick this one up. So I did that today. And also, let's not leave out Neil!
I am reading a lot of Valiant and Dark Horse right now on top of my normal Marvel and DC stuff, all thanks to all the goodness that was Emerald City Comic Con. So, yeah, reaching outside the big two.
Yeah, we'll have to go over that in a little bit, maybe after we get done with C2E2. And it was great. So all three of us have been to cons in the past month. It's great. During this podcast, we'll be talking about what happened in the current season of the, listen carefully, folks, CBS show Supergirl, not necessarily Arrow, although we might touch on Arrow as well as news articles and announcements that have dropped in the past and that could impact future episodes, or in the case of Supergirl, episode, just one. It will contain spoilers, so consider yourself to warn. Whoop, whoop, spoilers, spoilers. All of our past shows can be found in the archives. All of our released past shows can be found in the archive, found at GunnaGeek.com. So next week, gang, what are we going to do? It's a hiatus. Let's talk a little bit about next week. What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
All right. I'm willing to go there. SP, you willing to go there?
I'm willing. Yeah. If you allow me to rant, I'm willing to go.
Chris, are you willing to go there?
I'm willing to witness you guys go there.
Listener, if you're not sure what we're avoiding talking about, yep, it's the piece of controversial DC cinema that has dropped, what was it, probably about a month ago now. You guessed it, Batman v Superman.
The Dawn of Justice.
Rebirth. Oh, sorry, that's totally different.
I thought it was Batman 5 Superman.
Only on your show, Chris. Only okay. On your show. Yes, that's it.
For those regular listeners of the Starling Tribune, we did fully discuss the death last week on the 1159 episode that Arrow showed us. And just in case you haven't seen it yet, because we're talking about Supergirl, I'm not going to state what happened. But if you want to know all about that, go back. Nothing has changed. I've actually read several interviews with Mark Guggenheim, who has given a little bit more information. But basically, it's all, nope, she's dead. She ain't coming back. She's dead. So what we are going to talk about is last month in March 2016, almost to the day, Chris and I ventured to Chicago and we attended C2E2. Now, Chris did not have a chance to actually attend this panel. I did. I brought my trusty handy dandy recorder with me and was able to record the first major panel of the con, which was a Supergirl panel. It's as close as we get to Arrow in this convention. It was a packed house, and it was Kyler Lees, who plays Alex, the Danvers, the Supergirl sister in the CW show Supergirl. It was her first ever panel, and she did amazing. She is a performer. She is great. And Melissa Benoist also was there. So it was moderated, and it was about, I don't know, 15 minutes or so of them talking back and forth and just getting in the grooves, you know, getting settled in. And then they did question after question after question. And then at the end, you'll hear a couple of questions from little girls that they made sure they cleared out everybody else. And they said, if you're a little girl, we're going to take your question before they go. And they went over time in order to do that. So it was great. So what we're going to do is we're going to listen to clip by clip. We're not going to go over the entire panel, but we're going to go over clip by clip. And some of what they have to say deals directly with what is going on in the current season finale episodes. But a lot of it is just in general stuff. And some of it is even off DC topics. So it's pretty cool. Are you guys ready to start going down these clips?
Let's do it.
Let's do this thing.
All right, here we go. Here's the first clip.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Lindsay from Oak Park, Illinois, and I wanted to ask you if you guys knew each other before the Supergirl show started?
We didn't.
Oh. No, we met, a week before we started? Something like that.
And get
we
the only first table read.
Yeah.
The pilot.
Yeah, that's right. And then we went to the camera test, which is the first time I saw her in her suit, which the hair on my arms stood on end. It was the coolest thing. And she just walked out, and she's, you know, her walk. Like, she just owned it. She just came out, and it was just, yeah, I think I did a little fangirl there. It's kind of like, babe, she totally wore the suit. Yeah, so it was pretty cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay.
And what you didn't catch there is Kyler's husband is a huge comic book nerd. Huge. And he's asking Kyler all these questions when she comes home from work. And she's like, babe, whatever. I don't know. Tell me what she looks like. And he said certain things. And she's like, yeah, that's kind of the way it is. And like, oh, but is it the real red color or is it some off red colors? I don't know. Just watch the show. You'll find out. So that was all funny. So that was how they first met. It was actually on the set, on a table read, and as a costume fitting. And also, Melissa Benoist before that went over some costume fitting stuff and said that they had an amazing crew behind them. And basically, it's the same crew that's done Arrow and Flash. So they've learned a lot about costume fittings for these superheroes. So that's all fun.
I think if we think back to when they had that first summer teaser of what was coming from Supergirl, I think it was at SDCC where they aired it. And I remember my feelings when I first saw her in the suit, and they went through that montage of the pre-suits, you know, and teased the 80s suit and some of the other looks. I think I got the same feeling. I kind of got shivers. We're like, we're getting a Kryptonian on TV in the real suit, not all washed out with black tones either. This is awesome. So I get that feeling of excitement.
I had the exact same thought. The first time you see the suit for any of these shows, really, you're just like, oh, and you get that chill. Like the first time we saw the Flash costume is the exact same way for me. I was like, it's a faithful adaptation of what I'm used to seeing on comic books and things like that. And the Supergirl costume, very much the same way.
Yeah, so it was great. And oh, by the way, did I mention that we're a podcast on the CW show Arrow? Did I mention that? I think I did, right? Well, guess who showed up to ask a question?
Hi, I'm Ollie from Star City. So with John Jones on the show and the episode with the White Martians, I'd like to see Miss Marsha on the show. So what are some DC characters you'd like to see on the show?
Other DC characters.
I wish my son was up here. He'd give you a whole laundry list of that. Jeez. What do you guys think?
Wonder Woman. I don't know if we can do that.
Super, yeah.
Wonder Girl, Power Girl.
Power Girl, yeah, that's a pretty good one.
And Superwoman. Like, there's so many.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's some really cool ones. The end.
Batgirl!
Batman.
Squirrel.
Would be dope. That would be really cool.
John Henry Steele.
And they make a very, very big point for us to say John Jones. Just putting it out there. We literally have to go into ADR recording. They're like, it didn't sound John enough. I'm like, I said it like a Z. But no.
I think we have to, DC is very generous with the characters they let us have on the shows, and I trust them to bring some really amazing people, characters.
Absolutely. Thank you. Great question.
So, Neil, obviously these two gals have not had the Marvel training of the background into the comic books that Marvel does with all of their stars. So, who do you think should be on Supergirl, given the swath of DC background?
You know, there were two things in that discussion that jumped out at me that went, ooh, and ah. Oh. So, first, if we're familiar with, let's call it Earth 5, where this is, they make a real point of having a ton of strong female characters. So, I'm going to riff off of that for a second. The guy that asked the question and said Ms. Marvel, that would be so much fun. And then the person in the crowd that said Batgirl, yeah, that would be sweet too. But we always know that the Achilles heel of Kryptonians is magic. So to bring Zatanna into that universe.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'd love to see how Zatanna fits in.
Chris, anybody else besides Zatanna?
So one I would love to see in there, and I think there's a slight chance because it's not one being played with in the movie properties right now, would be Nightwing.
That's true, because Teen Titans.
You can't get the bat, but you could get his first apprentice, I guess, and that could be really fun. I don't think it will happen, but Nightwing is a much lighter character than many other folks in the Bat family. He's kind of more happy and cracking jokes and things like that wouldn't fit in with the tone of Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about the current run of Batgirl and the Batgirl of Burnside by Babs Tarr. I mean, that's a much lighter character who's taking selfies, doesn't have the traditional Bat costume. It's more urban wear that can be adapted very quickly. So Batgirl would work really well.
I agree with you on that, but why I think you wouldn't be able to get that is one of the rumors was that Jenna Malone, she was on Batman v Superman, filmed a lot of scenes that were not in the movie. They were cut out. The rumor is she was Barbara Gordon. So I don't think they're going to be allowed to play with that character. Otherwise, I would be completely on board with you. The character would make sense to do that with, but I don't think they'll be allowed to do it.
Another way to go is, if we're talking about Ms. Martian, well, we could go with Artemis. So they get their own archer. They don't have to worry about crossing over. We know this crew knows how to do arrow special effects and archery special effects. I think it'd be fun.
That would be cool. I mean, you could take a lot of folks from the Young Justice cartoon and say, I wouldn't mind seeing them on Supergirl. Now I'm going through that roster. I'm like, you know what? Any of those would have been really fun.
Yeah. So what I don't have a clip of ready to go is that Kyler alludes to the fact that she has to be on the level of Supergirl. So she talks about wanting to be Batgirl and that her character could be Batgirl. And B, she needed a super suit like Iron Man is what she said. So what's very interesting, and I'm going to spoil the heck out of it right now. If you haven't seen the latest episode of Supergirl, guess what she ends up in? She ends up in a super suit, getting ready to go after Supergirl.
Is it a super suit or an Atom suit?
I'm not sure.
Does it look a lot like the Atom suit from Arrow? That's all I'm wondering.
It's more of a headless aliens sort of suit.
Huh. Kind of like a Lex Luthor power suit, I guess, from the comics might be the best way of putting it. Interesting.
Anyway, she knew that doing this panel. So she was trying to lead everybody into it without, you know, giving anything away. She was just like, that'd be so cool to do it. And guess what? She ends up in the show within a power suit. So that's pretty cool. All right. The ladies do talk about what they like outside of Supergirl.
obviously you guys are getting a taste of the passion that fans have for this type of show and for your show and how they're connecting with you guys. What are some of the things you guys geek out about on television, film, books? Anything come to mind? You're Ravenclaw, right, Melissa?
Ravenclaw?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep, Ravenclaw all the way.
So we know you like that. What else, yep. What else do you guys, you know, respond to?
I mean, I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah, ditto. Ditto. I thought Chewie stole the movie. Just saying.
He did that. Yeah, he did. I don't want to... We've all seen Star Wars.
I mean, come on.
The spoiler moratorium is over for that one. Yeah. But that was a great question.
It was. So, yeah, they talked about... the stuff that they liked outside of DC, kind of showing their geek cred, even though they, you know, they're busy.
But there's a conspicuous absence of anything Marvel. No one's like, oh, I love Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, because it's a universal truth that everyone loves Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
There was a guy off stage going, Ixnay on the Arvel May.
No Civil War.
You think so, guys? Listen to this.
I'm Sydney from Geneseo, Illinois, and my question is, are you team, or it's for both of you, and it's, are you team Cap or Iron Man?
Let's start with you. What are you?
Captain America.
That is tough. That's kind of tough. I'm a little split. I'm sort of obligated to say Captain America just because I worked with Chris Evans, so I'd probably get in big trouble if I didn't. But there is something about Tony Stark that he, you know, he's got the suit. Like, if Alex could be like an Iron Man, right? So I kind of almost think I sort of have to go that route. I think I have to say Captain America. Oh, no. It's a showdown.
You know why? Because I think Supergirl would be friends with him.
Thank you.
So they did talk a little bit of Marvel.
Nice. I like the banter there.
Yes, definitely. And it was a little kid that asked it, and you're just going to disappoint the little kid, but they handled it very well. And yes, if I'm working on a DC show, I'm probably not going to talk about Marvel. If I'm working on a Marvel show, probably not going to talk about DC, unless I happen to be Aquaman. And then they make all sorts of accusations. For those that don't know what we're talking about, the actor that plays Aquaman, Momoa.
Jason Momoa
made some very derogatory remarks towards Marvel about a year ago. So he hasn't been heard from since. I think DC finally talked to him, toned him down. But that was fun to go back and forth.
So real quick, since we already crossed the streams, what team are you guys? Team Cap, Team Iron Man?
Team Agent 13.
Team Cap.
Or Team Rocket, one of the two.
I'm Team Hello Kitty, just like Deadpool.
Right.
Nice.
So you guys were at work today, right?
Sadly, yes.
Yippers.
Okay. And we know that Supergirl goes to work at Catco, right?
Yes.
So do you guys think you're going to work where you're at for the rest of your lives?
That's a trap.
No, it's a simple question.
Yes. Of course I am.
Yeah, right. Okay. In case your boss is listening.
If my boss is listening to this, of course I am.
Okay. Well, so...
I'm kidding.
Chris just made a visual signal there that
Chris
may or may not
joking.
Have been contrary of what he said. So somebody asked about Supergirl's future at Catco.
Yes.
Hi, my name's Alexis, and I'm from Orland Park, and my question is, how long is Supergirl going to work at Catco?
How long are you going to work there?
What's great about Catco is that she's kind of at the bottom of the rung right now. She's the bottom rung of the ladder. And I think that she can only work her way up from here, and her relationship with Cat is an incredible one, and I think they could really discover a lot of different things that Kara could do at Catco. I don't know if she'll be an assistant forever, but I don't think she's going to leave Catco. She loves it too much.
But like Melissa said, too, about the character, it's really great that that's her life like that gives her a sense of reality. So her going to work every day and working on something that she's really, you know, finds important and working for Kat, I'm sure it's probably something that she would aim to do for quite a while.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What do you think, Chris?
Well, working for Kat Grant would definitely ground you because she would force you to be grounded as she beats you down occasionally. But it's strangely the moral compass of the show. I'm not quite sure how that started working, but it works.
It does. And if you haven't seen the penultimate season one episode, she really comes through in that episode as the moral grounded center. She really, really does. It shocked me. And I was trying to half pay attention to the episode and read some comic books, and I couldn't. I had to actually watch the episode. It was that good. So if you haven't gotten to it yet, have fun with it. Neil, anything to say on that one before we move on?
I can't imagine the show without Kat Grant and Calista Flockhart giving that, and I hate to say mature, but it's a slightly different take or different perspective on the world. It's not always the moral compass, but quite often it is the harsh reality of how things also function. And it's also that sense of you're sticking up for yourselves because X, Y, and Z. I can't imagine the show without Calista Flockhart, and AKA, I don't think she's ever going to leave Katco.
I don't think she is either. And they brought up a good point. If she's on the bottom rung right now, there's plenty of room for advancement. And while she kind of enjoys being the assistant because of the advice that she sometimes inadvertently gets from Kat and things like that, she can certainly work her way into some other position that easily as time goes forward and be continually involved in Katco's ongoing business.
And Michelle Ely in the chat says, she gives a great speech. Yes, she does. All right. You guys ready for kind of a fun one?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Hi, ladies. I'm Kristen. I'm from Chicago. Thank you so much for coming. And Melissa, thank you for the autograph. Everybody keeps talking about your real singing, but I would love to see you two ladies go on lip sync battle.
That would be so much fun.
Terrence Howard and Taraji P. Henson took time out from Empire to do an episode, so you guys can totally make
that. Well, I'm sure you saw Jenna and Channing.
Yes, that was
awesome. Oh, my God.
Jenna was amazing.
She was incredible. And Channing in the Elsa outfit, I was watching it, and my daughter came up behind me. She's like, that's the weirdest Elsa I've ever seen. She's enormous. I'm like, looks can be deceiving. Yeah, that's fine. So that would be so much fun.
That would be awesome.
It. Do what you can.
Great idea.
Chris, are you ready to dress up as Elsa?
I'm not ready to dress up as Elsa, but that could be an interesting lip sync battle to watch. Although I'd be more keen on getting a Team Flash v Team Supergirl lip sync battle. Because you take two Glee alum who have a little bit of background in singing and dancing with Grant Gustin and Melissa Benoist and put them on screen opposite each other in a competition. I think that would be a lot of fun to see.
And then you add guys like Jesse L. Martin in the mix, and yeah, Team Flash for the win on this one.
Well, just hold on to your hats on that one. We'll get to it. This next question, I have to set it up. This little girl, she must have been like 8. She comes up and asks this really in-depth question, and it's very serious and it's in-depth, and everybody was, their jaws just hit the floor when they heard this girl ask this very insightful adult-related question. So here we go.
So I'm Lily from Highland Park, which is in the Chicago area. My question is, like, you see all these, like, sexualized female superheroes, like, on the surface of the internet, but you have to go, like, really deep into the internet to find the, like, male sexualized superheroes. So, like, what's your reaction to that? What do you think of that?
Wow.
That is so smart and observant.
That's an incredible question.
How old are you?
12.
12? 12 going on 20.
You want to come work for the show?
Yeah, do you want to come write for us?
Sheesh.
I think it's really unfair. I do.
Yeah. But dudes are always in tights. If that counts. I don't know. I mean, Superman wore his underwear on the outside of his clothes. That's a little much, if you ask me. Yeah, it's a good question. What a great question.
Thank you.
I think it's great in this day and age that girls, she was 12, she wasn't 8, that girls that age can not only be thinking about such stuff, but not be ridiculed for bringing it up and actually praised and saying, yeah, look, there's some equality going on right now. And just to hit on one of the topics that Kyler said, I'm wearing tights right now.
I wear my tights all the time, guys.
It's pantsless podcasting, but we wear tights.
There are jokes to be made, but I'm refraining from doing that so we remain family friendly.
Neil, go ahead. What do you got?
Nope. I got nothing.
Well, what'd you think of the question?
She asked a really good question. Listen, we've seen in the comics industry a lot of cover art even be derided for going too far. Listen, in the last 2 years, we've had controversies about Spider-Woman Jessica Drew. We've had Starfire covers called into question. We've had Teen Titans covers called into question. And the thing is, we're seeing fewer and fewer of them. Yes, it still happens. The industry isn't perfect. But I think people are realizing that, listen, this doesn't have to be the norm. And we as a comic community don't have to accept this. And the fact that people do speak out when you get the outrageous pose for Jessica Drew and an over-sexualized Starfire on the cover of Teen Titans.
And in the book, too. She was ridiculously over-sexualized in that book.
And when she came out in her own book, there was actually a conscious effort made. And again, it was some of the writers and the creators from the Harley Quinn book as well that came onto it to say, listen, it can be a fun, family-friendly, enjoyable one without sacrificing that character's principles and, you know, the fact that she approaches her sexuality in a different way without overdoing it. There's still a long way to go, but the industry is getting better, and it's because people like that girl are reading comics and like hopefully the people on this podcast just don't want to stand for it anymore.
Chris, anything else on that?
I can't really say anything better than how Neil just put it, I'll be honest.
I was thinking about that very subject today in the comic book store when I saw the new Starfire cover. I was like, wow, that is, I mean, she wasn't naked or anything, but it was front and center and was like, all right, it still happens. And I wish it didn't. I wish it would be more mainstream, but it is what it is for now. And I hate that I just said it is what it is because it's a very serious subject. And like Marvel's getting a lot better. I think a lot of the comic books are getting a lot better, but it's still a trope out there because it sells books, right? That's why.
I don't know that it really causes that much of a surge in book sales. I just think it's what people are used to doing. So they keep doing it until there's a conscious effort to change things.
Mm-hmm. Well, like with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Whether you watch the show or not, there's tons of strong female characters on the show. Matter of fact, I think the female characters outweigh the male characters on that show in terms of strength, in terms of screen presence and everything like that. Not taking anything away from Greg Coulson, Greg Clark, Phil Coulson.
Clark Gregg.
Yeah, there you go. I don't run a Marvel podcast, no.
No, not at all.
Especially not one on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. But it's so great. And it's something that we started to see in Arrow this year with Laurel and definitely with Felicity. And obviously Supergirl is front and center and all that. So I just think it's great. I think it's bringing something for these kids as they go forward. So it's fun.
Yeah, no, and I think Berlanti and Guggenheim and the crew even made a conscious choice. If you take a look at even going from the animated series of Vixen to the live action, they didn't skimp out on the costume. They made it more functional. This is a character that runs around in Detroit. She's not going to run around in a bathing suit effectively, right? They gave her the leather jacket with arms, more protection. It makes sense. So I think in the CW verse or the Berlanti verse or whatever you choose to call it, they're aware of this. And I think having a show that is in the same family like Supergirl has an influence on the rest. I'd like to think it has an influence on the rest of the TV comic community.
Mm-hmm. Well said, guys. And this is a topic that we will continue to explore on Starling Tribune, because obviously as things progress, we're going to be talking about stuff like this. But in the meantime, let's move on to something a little bit more fun. And we mentioned it before, but Melissa and Grant were on a little show called Glee, right?
They were indeed.
This is kind of a viewer response to that.
Yes, hi.
Hi. So I've actually been a fan of you, Melissa, since like Glee, and Kyler, you since Grey's Anatomy. And I was wondering, since both of you are really good singers in addition to Jeremy and Laura Benanti, like, is there any chance we're going to see any singing ever on Supergirl?
Oh my God. That would be amazing. A musical episode.
Like, Grey's did it, so why can't Supergirl?
But isn't that supposed to happen, like, in down the road?
Well, we're going into season two here shortly.
Oh, we're way down the road. So, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't put it past anybody, you know.
There is a villain. Isn't his name Music Meister?
So you want to get Neil Patrick Harris, too?
Sorry?
Neil Patrick Harris did the voice of him in Batman Brave and the Bold, so...
Oh, really?
Into it too?
That'd be fun.
Maybe you guys should pitch it.
You guys are, you have great ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it either. We sing enough on set as it is, and...
All the time.
It's not always good.
Oh, Lord.
She will. That is a great question and a great idea. So hopefully we can look for a musical episode in the future. Thank you.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I totally didn't get the Neil Patrick Harris reference at first. It was like, oh, that's awesome.
Bring on NPH. That would be awesome to get Neil Patrick Harris in there for a musical episode, because that dude is super talented. Go back and watch some of the episodes of How I Met Your Mother, like his suit song and stuff like that. So talented.
It would be great. And I think the character would fit, or even Neil Patrick Harris's outlook on life would fit with this show. Yeah, that would be fun.
It would. So they had fun answering that. Let's go on to talking about superpowers.
Hi, I'm Mallory. I'm from Joliet. And if you could choose, for all of you, if you could choose any superpower, what would it be?
Superpower.
First of all, you make an awesome Professor Trelawney. You look great.
I think a lot of us agree on flying, because that would just
fly.
Be rad.
It'd be super
cool. Flying would be really cool. And maybe X-ray vision. That'd be kind of cool, too.
Maybe the ability to time travel. I want to see some dinosaurs.
Nerd.
That's like...
I'm sorry. That was weird.
What would your superpower be?
What would you
do? Invisible.
Invisible?
That's a good idea.
I think invisible is key. Good job. Great question.
Yes.
Yes.
So, guys, what would your superpower be?
Oh, that's easy. I want to be the master of time and space like Hiro Nakamura.
And his son, apparently, too, right?
Spoiler alert.
I don't think you can spoil heroes at this point in time. It's done.
For now. We thought that before, too. That's the problem.
Season 3 and season 4 spoiled it. Don't worry.
Yeah, valid right. point. I mean, but seriously, if you're the master of time and space, you could even go the same twist as what they're doing with Quicksilver when he lost his super speed, is he basically manipulated time to make himself super fast. So not only can you time travel and freeze things, you can manipulate time so that you are faster than everything. I'm totally twisting this to work better for me. I fully acknowledge that.
I'm taking teleporting.
Ooh.
I hate waiting in traffic. I think flying would be too much of an attention getter. I think we've seen teleporting in various combat things where, you know, you bamf in and out behind people. You know, hell, when you just don't want to wait for an elevator, bamf, you're up on the floor of your building. There's so many ways to use teleporting. That's it. I'm there. I think my actual superpower is making egg white omelets. I make a mean egg white omelet.
Do you use egg beaters or do you actually separate the yolk from the egg?
I can do either.
Oh.
It's an amazing power.
I can do the egg beaters just like that, and I can do over medium eggs, but egg whites I have yet to completely master. But
if
I had a superpower, it would be invisibility. There's all sorts of things that just makes that one fun.
Creepy SP is creepy.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
All right. So let's get back to some Arrow goodness. All right. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Yeah, Brian.
Ladies, thank you so much for coming. This is awesome. I'm Jonathan from Woodridge, Illinois. And there's so many aspects of the show that I completely enjoy. But can you tell us a little bit about the training regimen that you go through with all of the stunts and the flying? It's just amazing to see all of that on a network show. And it just makes every episode exciting to see.
What is the training?
The training.
I unfortunately, when we started filming, we had zero time to do anything. And honestly, the nature of what we were doing was the training. But I essentially had to learn how to fight. Like, I had never pulled a punch before. I grew up in a family of girls, and all we did was slap each other and like. So I had to learn how to fight and make it look convincing. And we both have incredible stunt doubles. My stunt double is Shauna Duggins, and she doubled Sydney Bristow and Kill Bill, and like, she's unreal. And she was like a savior. And I don't know. The wire work is really tough, and it's an ongoing process learning how to finesse it.
We had a lot of fun with it, though. I think, you know, if you're going to do it, you got to be sold out. And, I mean, we got injured. I mean, she got punched in the face.
I got punched in the face.
Like, straight
like
up
two weeks
punched
ago.
In the face. Yeah. And, you know, we ended up with all sorts of injuries. But it's just because we're sold out, you know? It's like we have fun, and there's just something that switches in your mind that all of a sudden it's like, you know, grr. But I mean... Much more than that. But no, it was, I think that was, you know, probably some of the best times we had was just trying to kick each other's ass.
Yeah.
But.
It makes a big difference when the actors get physical and get in there and like are, you know, excited and passionate. I mean, a huge difference, because you can easily see when it's like, oh yeah, that's a stunt double. Oh, there's the actor. Oh, the stunt, you know. So, I mean, kudos to you guys, because it makes a big, big difference. Thank you. Great question.
Yeah, it's fun. Thank you.
Take care.
A, all they need to do is slap some water and they'll be fine, right?
And then give Bam Bam a call.
Right. And then B, did you hear where she went? Fight each other.
Yep.
That is exactly what's happening in the penultimate Supergirl season one episode. So there you go. Of course, you know, the team has to fight each other, right? That's why we have Civil War. That's why we had Batman versus Superman. Some work.
Team Iron Man.
Better than others. All right. Yeah, Neil, you got anything to say about that one?
No. And, you know, that theme isn't ending in print comics either. Because remember, this summer, our summer crossover event in Marvel is Civil War II.
That's awful convenient, so, isn't it?
Yep.
Looking forward to it. Although Neil's going to miss all of June. Chris, anything on that one?
Nope.
Okay, gentlemen, there's one more clip. Do you have any idea what it might or might not be? Neil, guesses?
A really frequent panel question at cons is pranks. So I'd put my money on pranks.
Chris?
I like the pranks idea, but I can't take that for myself. So, oh man. Is there a rivalry between all the Flaro shows, basically? I don't know.
Ooh, good one.
Chris, it's amazing. You're pretty close. Listen up.
Yes, hi.
Hello, my name is Jonathan. I'm from Chicago. My question is, we the fans already know that Flash is the fastest man alive. Well, what do you think that's faster, Supergirl or Flash?
Supergirl. Was that too fast? Sorry.
She's got my back. I don't know.
Well, what do you think her answer is going to be?
Yeah.
I mean, she is Supergirl, so...
She can fly faster than... I broke the sound barrier at one point.
She did.
Yeah.
He's probably faster than that.
But she's way cooler.
Thank you.
Thank you. Her cape's better, too.
Well, if you're the fastest man alive, you probably shouldn't wear a cape lest you get caught on something.
Right. Okay. Fastest man alive, but who's faster?
The Flash.
The Flash.
If you go with the comics, the Speed Force makes him faster than anything besides potentially some other speedsters.
Neil, do you feel gypped that you didn't guess it?
No, I don't, because that's a great question. And they teased it in the crossover episode. But I think what's exciting is when they're creating these characters, one of the philosophies is if somebody can only do one thing, they have to do that thing really well to make it incredibly super. Flash does one thing and he goes fast. So I'm saying Flash. That's the Speed Force makes it no question. She broke the sound barrier. Yeah, Flash breaks the time barrier.
And the dimensional barrier. I mean, and if you go back to the comics and stuff, they've always left it kind of up in air for fan interpretation. Whenever they have these races, there's always something convenient that happens that distracts them from the race. So they leave it semi-ambiguous, or they flip-flop back and forth between who gets to be the fastest. I mean, if you go and look at the canon and the fact the Speed Force does exist in the Flash TV show, it should be the Flash, because the Speed Force is the ultimate nullifier of all things in that regard.
Yep. And the chat room is lighting up a little bit. First of all, the real TLN says Quicksilver is faster than both.
That's why he gets shot and killed, right?
I was going to say, that's why he's dead in the Marvel Universe, yeah. And Michelle Ely says Flash. That's what you got here. So anyway, it was a great panel. This is by far not the entire thing. So if you ever get a chance to go to a con and see these two ladies, you're going to do great. They did great answering questions. They did great improv. And for the first time out for Kyler, it was pretty good. And I think it was really only the second one for Melissa, because I think her previous one was at SDCC. And at that point in time, she said she was like, yeah, this is really cool. Basically wide-eyed and going into the role.
SDCC would be a very tough con to have be your very first con.
It was probably really short. I have no idea, but it was probably a really short part of a larger DC TV block, I'm guessing. I don't know for sure, but if it was only like 15 minutes and it was your first time out, it wouldn't be bad. But she was in costume too, so that was the big deal there. All right. What'd you guys think of the panel? Worth going through?
You know what, SP? I really appreciate the fact that you brought that recording. It was fun, and I'd be into doing more of this.
Yeah, it was really cool. I did not get to go to the panel, but I got to relive part of it through the recordings, which is pretty dang cool.
So here's the secret. Get one of these, which Neil, I know you have, and Chris, I know you have a version, and then get a shotgun microphone so you don't just get the room sound from the XY microphone, and point the shotgun somewhere, and then bring your monitors, and you're going to look like a dork, but you're going to get a great recording. Otherwise, the rooms are so echoey, you're not going to get anything. So if you want to listen to an expert on how to do this, hit up Haley, because she brings all the nerd gear, including some video too. So hit her up if you need to know what you need to do to record a panel. And also, by the way, all cons and all panels are not alike. Some do allow you to record and some don't. The one panel that was right after this was Battlestar Galactica. And I was like, oh, I really want to get this. This will be fun, because sci-fi is, you know, great for me. And I like Battlestar Galactica. And they said, nope, everybody put your phones down. Everybody put your recorders down. There will be no recording, or else you're going to get kicked out. Or Edward James Olmos and Mary McDonnell will actually walk off stage. So we're like, that's kind of weird, but okay. It's just one of those that you just can't record. And they make sure that you don't. And they walk the aisle. So you can't record everything at cons. But hearing the stuff, being entertained, learning some knowledge, and then talking about it later is all fun. So, Neil, you went to Emerald City Con, right?
Yeah.
Did you sit in any panels, or were you just floating around the floor getting autographs?
I did. Well, and one of the reasons why I really appreciate the fact that you brought this recording is both the actors that you had on your panel canceled. Supergirl filming went over into Emerald City Comic Con, so they both canceled. But I did, from TV shows, get to sit in on the Flash panel and the iZombie panel, as well as a couple of others and a lot of author panels. But the Flash panel was awesome. We had Wally, we had Caitlin Snow, and we had Robbie Amell on that panel.
Oh, that must have been hilarious. Was it an hour long?
Yeah, full hour.
Did they take questions the entire time?
Yeah, they took questions. After about 15 minutes, it was really well moderated. Robbie Amell is a total ham. He kind of dominated most of the time. Took a lot of questions on their Kickstarter, their Indiegogo campaign as well. It was the actor that plays Wally West's first con as well. So he was thrilled to be on stage.
That's cool.
The iZombie panel was also a ton of fun. If you're an iZombie fan, you know, of course, it's another DC property through the Vertigo imprint. And I can't remember what panel was on right before that one. But my wife and I charged right up to the front. We're in row 4, I think, of that panel in the main hall. And then I actually got up, stood in line for the mic, and asked a question.
Ooh. You didn't say this before. What'd you ask?
I did not. So, my question was this. Both the character that plays Liv Moore and that plays the main bad guy, Oh God, I'm trying to remember his name right now. He's the guy that infected Liv with zombieism, has the white hair. They were both on Once Upon a Time.
Oh.
And of course, even though it takes place in Seattle, iZombie is filmed here in Vancouver as well. And I actually live in the community of Storybrooke. So I basically said, you know, hi from Vancouver and actually from Storybrooke, much love. And I said, with all the CW shows and genre shows and the fact you guys have been on two, do you guys ever run into other actors outside the show? And do you have any stories you can tell? And in fact, the actor that plays Liv was roommates with somebody on, I think it was Flash last season. And they said, yeah, you always find yourself on planes, going for drinks, hanging out. But they said, what was more interesting is when you've had a long day shooting and you're trying to get home to the condo you're renting or your hotel, and a key street is blocked off with, say, shooting the last couple of episodes of Flash, and you have to detour or wait for like 45 minutes while a scene is shot, you're like, oh, damn you, Flash. Oh, why are you filming tonight?
You know, Kyler and Melissa in the, I didn't pull this clip out, but they did talk about the shooting schedule because somebody asked, you know, how hard, a little girl asked, how hard is it to film the episodes, and or how long does it take to film one episode? And that led into a bunch of different stuff, but they laughed and they said forever, but they said it's supposed to last 8 days, but they have gone long in the shooting for Supergirl because of all the stunt work that needs to be done and everything. And they said something interesting that I didn't know. I don't know if this is industry standard or just on their show, but they, whenever they go and they stop, like if they go on a long day shoot and they get done at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that, they have to stop for 12 hours. It's called a turnaround time in the business. And I didn't know if this was time like union you had to take off, or maybe that's when all the dailies had to go up and whatever. And it takes 12 hours to actually turn around that shooting or whatever. Probably a combination of both. I actually don't know. I'm not an expert on the filming, but it was interesting that they actually mentioned that in this panel. And then coincidentally, you're talking about running into shooting. You do a lot of that, but I recently took a vacation to Wilmington, North Carolina. They do a lot of shooting there for a lot of different shows. Well, a coworker of mine actually used to live there, and we didn't have a chance to link up until today. So we actually were talking around my desk, and he said, oh, did you run into any shooting? And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, well, what did you see? And he said, actually, they caught me with an NDA after we walked by and we figured out what it was, and we had to sign with $1 million penalty. So I am not going to tell anybody, especially on this podcast, what we witnessed shooting. But you were talking about the actors running into each other around town or whatever. He said, yeah, I'd run into this one guy all the time. I had no idea who it was, but my wife sure knew him. And said, well, who was it? It was like at that One Tree Hill film. It was Chad Michael Murray. He's like, yeah, that guy. He was everywhere. I was like, yeah, he was. And he was also in Agent Carter. So there you go. But lots of fun stuff. Tris, you don't have any shooting where you are, do you?
They shot Dark Knight Rises in Pittsburgh, just up the road. So mm-hmm. Pittsburgh got converted to Gotham City for a period in time. And I know I was shopping for a suit jacket and went up to one of the malls up there to go to the store. And everything was done up. Gotham City, get your Batman swag here, stuff like that. But there's nothing that really comes down where I am. You have to go to Pittsburgh occasionally for stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Michelle Ely in the chat said it is a union mandate. That's what it is. And because it 12 hours is the role for that. So that's all cool. So anyway, anything else from Emerald City Con?
Just there are so many great creators. I think a lot of the cons are finding their niches with things they do better than others. And Emerald City is really focusing still on comics, which is great, and on authors. I got to give props to Delray Books. I think I came away from the con with like 8-10 novels free, including the most recent Star Wars novel and just a ton of other great books. So Delray out there and all the authors that were represented by Delray, good on you, man. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So Chris, we talked about it before, but do you have anything about C2E2 that you haven't said before that's come to your mind that you want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, I gushed a lot about C2E2. It was a heck of an experience. I look forward to doing it again. And I'm hoping to hit up some of the local cons around here, but I know they won't quite compare to C2E2.
Yeah, no. Indianapolis Comic Con is coming up at the end of the month. I'm debating going to that or not. It's a smaller con. It is not the, what's it called? The gaming convention.
Gen Con.
It's not Gen Con. It's Indianapolis Comic Con. So it's a smaller one, but that's one that I'm considering going to. Minneapolis has, or the Twin Cities Comic Con has something, considering doing that when I'm up at the lake and stuff like that. So we'll just see where it goes. But incredible opportunities. Really enjoyed going through this, and I'm glad you guys had fun going through it as well. For those that cross-listened to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we will be doing a panel at some point in time that Chloe Bennett did at C2E2 as well, and she was a little bit more unrestrained. It was not her first panel by any means, and she didn't have any Marvel snipers out to get her, so she let a few fun things slip that she probably wouldn't have otherwise, so that was all cool. So that's over on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Chris, you have a new episode of Nerd Alert News this week, is that right?
There will be a new one. I'm recording this weekend. Last episode was about the Star Wars Rogue One trailer reveal.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Listener, definitely check out Nerd Alert News that if you're a Star Wars fan. That was a great episode, Chris.
There's too many trailers coming out. There were the Civil War clips they've been showing and the Doctor Strange trailer and things like that and the last Suicide Squad. I was like, I would love to do special editions of those, but I don't have time to do a special edition every time a new awesome trailer comes. But Star Wars, that's the rare exception right now.
Yep. So lots of things going on in the comic book world, as you always do at this time of the year, the April, May, June timeframe, especially on the big screen. And also in the issues themselves. And Neil, just to do a little cross promotion, you also have a very large segment on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. And anything you want to tease about your latest segment?
The next one that's going to be coming out now, we do run a couple weeks behind, so we're not spoiling anything for people. But the next episode of Long Box Edition is going to focus on the 75-year anniversary of Captain America, which was a phenomenal issue. And if you're up on what's going on with Steve Rogers in the comic book universe, you'll know that he hasn't really been himself for the last few months. Things may be about to change, and I'll just kind of leave it at that. It's an awesome, awesome issue.
Mm-hmm. It is. All right, guys. I just want to thank everybody that came in an off week to listen and watch us on Blab and Spreaker. Thank you to everybody that participated in the chat. We don't always talk about your comment as we're going because we are recording an active podcast, but we do read it. You guys do help the podcast. Thank you very much for that. And as Neil will say in a little bit, don't forget that you have a chance to come on after the show.
Definitely. I just want to thank all of our live participants in the Blab chat. And if you're listening to a recorded podcast, you can join us live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on blab.im. And just search for Starling Tribune or Gonna Geek. And don't forget that after the show, we always open up the fourth seat on the Blab interface for our live listeners to hang out and share their thoughts.
Yes, and don't forget, you can go to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe to Starling Tribune there. Give a 5-star review. That would help a lot. It turns out subscribers actually increase you in the rankings. So if you haven't subscribed to us in iTunes, please do so. We would appreciate that. And then, of course, like us on Facebook, and then go check out the Gonna Geek YouTube page at youtube.com/GonnaGeek.
That works, too. But don't forget, if you want to find our contact information, anything like that, you can go over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com, find all the methods to contact us, get in touch with us there, and while you're there, check out the forums, check out all the other great shows that are part of the network. Like SP said earlier, we got 18 active shows in the network, so we're bound to have something that's going to tickle your geek fancy and hopefully get you involved in that. If you want to share your thoughts with us, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or best of all, shoot us a call over at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283.
And don't forget, you can watch the next live show on the Gonna Geek Network over at geeks.live. The next live show on the network is All Things Good and Nerdy with our very own Chris, Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Guys, it was a hoot talking Supergirl with you. And SP, thank you again for recording that segment. That about wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off and open up the Blab chat to our live listeners? At Chris Farrell.
#Master of Time and Space.
At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Chris is Elsa.
And I am at Neil Isn't Witty, signing off with hashtag more Supergirl. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.